The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome in, guys, to episode 29 of Coffee and Chill. This is our second attempt at recording this, as the original did not work and Kesso's computer crashed entirely. We had a really good intro and all sorts of stuff. I'm still streaming on my Subathon, folks. For anyone that has listened to this in a future date, I have now been streaming for 421 hours straight, obviously with sleep and whatnot in there. But nonetheless, the energy is not at an all-time high, so I apologize for my very melancholy demeanor.
But I'll try to carry it to carry it on my back.
Like you always do, my co-host Kesso will carry. So yesterday you opened up with, you almost had to deal with like a shooter. So let's just pick it up there.
All right, dude. So, regardless of the beginning, my wife and I are out at this bar and grill. The bartender runs from behind the bar. She goes and locks all the doors, and we're wondering like what's going on. So we hear somebody talking. They're like, this guy was here, a few minutes ago. He threatened to come back and shoot the place up or shoot somebody there. I don't know what like the full, information was. So bartender calls the cops, and the guy's supposedly like coming back, right? So then the one guy that's like over by the door in this bar, he's like, oh, the car is here or something. Like this guy comes back. So I grab my wife and we go to the back of the place, and like we're by like the back door and the bathroom. And so I'm like worried that like the guy will like come in through the front of the place. And then like fake it and go around back and like go through the back door. So like I'm holding the back door just in case, like I'm trying to be prepared. And then while this is going on, there's like this group of 70-year-olds there. They were there for a bowling league. I guess they go to this place every Tuesday night. So I'm thinking like, oh, cool, I'm going to be in a mass shooting. 70-year-olds die. Like me and my wife are just here for the first time we ever went to this place. So we see everybody like from the back. We're looking out to the front. We see everybody like crowded, moving towards the back. I guess the guy's walking towards the door. I don't know if he tried the door or what, but he ends up leaving. I don't know if he tried to open it. It was locked or whatever. I don't know why he just didn't shoot the door open. Yeah. But the guy leaves, and then the bartender starts closing people out. And I'm still worried he's going to come back. And then like 20 minutes pass from the first, like whenever she locks the door and her calling the cops had not come. 20 minutes. We're supposed to live in like a super safe area with amazing, cops or whatever. Nobody comes. So we close out, we end up leaving, but then I'm like, we are never going out again and leaving our house. And like, I'm going to get a gun, I guess. I guess it's the only way to protect your family. I have no idea, but I was scared because it's
dude,
like,
that's
scary. It's scary. And I'm like, it's not like we go out that much, but it's like, it's supposed to be fun on like a Tuesday night, just hanging out, getting like, I'm going to be drinking. She's not drinking. So I'm getting a beer or whatever. And you go out and you got to worry about like somebody shooting you, I guess.
Good Lord. You know? Yeah, I've never had anyone brandish a firearm at me. I don't feel like that's common. Unless you're obviously in the military or you're maybe a police officer or something like that.
But I don't know. But then and then there was like a big story in Pittsburgh two nights ago. There was like a this house party where like these kids like rented like an Airbnb. I don't know if there was like an adult that rented it and then like a bunch of kids showed up. But there was like 200 people at this house party. And then somebody showed up with a gun and shot like 11 people. And it was like right where my one friend lives. And it's like right on the street where my wife's cousin lives. So it's just like, I don't know. It's always a divisive topic, but it's always like, dude, this stuff could happen at any time.
Dude, that's insane, bro. Well, I'm glad you're all right. So this today, okay, guys, just heads up, like NHL, it's slowly winding down, obviously, and we can't fill an hour of talking about NHL. So we're going to wing a lot of this and obviously discuss GWC and things like that while Kesso is still competing in it. But while you said house party, I'm going to do this quite a bit over the next few weeks. Best house party moment you've ever been at? Give me your best house party that you've ever attended in your entire life.
Dude, I just remember one time in college.
Okay.
My wife and I were somewhere. Because, like, you know, and
were you dating yet?
Where are you? Yeah, because we were dating from freshman year. So, like, I remember the cops showed up and, like, I don't know if they were going after, like, drugs or something. But I remember we were hiding in, like, this back room while the cops were going through the place. And it was like this, I don't know if it was like a closet or what, but it was like, it had this back like cement wall and we're just like hiding in there waiting for the cops to leave. I just remember having fun that night, drinking a lot and, you know, not too much. Like, I don't remember like any, I wasn't a big like partier in high school. So like there wasn't anything crazy in high school and then college, it's just like going out. So,
fair enough.
I don't have like a Project X story. Right.
I have like, I can probably fill like two podcasts for the like high school parties. So did you see any of my wrist game that I streamed during the subathon?
Dude, I've been really like,
fair enough,
which I'll tell you about later, but yeah, it's just been crazy here. So didn't.
So me and my three buddies that I play Risk Legacy with, for anyone who doesn't know what Risk Legacy is, it's basically normal Risk, but it comes in a box and you only get 15 rounds, 15 games of it. And anything that happens in game one carries on to game two and game three and game four. So there's lots of crazy stuff. And then like there's these secret envelopes. It's like open when everyone has won one game. And then like new factions will come in and stuff. So it's very, very cool. So my friend texted me, he's like, dude, he's like, your subathon's not ending. So he's like, what if we just come over there and we, you know, put on our best behavior and we just stream a couple games versus Legacy? I was like, sure, absolutely. Cause trying to get everyone together on the same night when we're married and two of them have kids and like, you know, it's just impossible. So they come over and whatnot. And I completely forgot what I was going with. Anyway, so one of them was my best friend, Kyle, who I talk about quite a bit. In high school, he's been my best friend since like grade 10. And, he had this garage. His dad's a carpenter, owns his own carpenter business. But when he was younger, his dad worked at home and he has this like 6-car garage that we like turned into like the ultimate high school gross like place to hang out. It was always clean, but we would go out on the weekend at night and we'd go around to new development houses and we'd find like carpet that was like extra carpet and we've somehow managed to carpet this whole place so it was warmer.
Okay. All the consistent like carpet, like the same carpet throughout?
Yeah, for the most part. We were very particular. We'd go on Kijiji and we'd find people giving away free sectional couches. And we would like go and get new sectionals, well, new in quotes, that weren't like, you know, brutal and we hadn't spilled any booze on it like that. And we built a bar, got a fridge, bought a sound system for it, pulled all our money together and bought a big, huge, like 50-inch LCD TV when it was like newer. This is like 2006, 2007. Anyways, so I have like a million nights there because his mom was just kind of like out to lunch a little bit and like she would scream, but like never do anything. So we would know that we just had to endure her screaming while we have like 25 people in his garage, just all drunk, like all like just boozing and whatever. Anyways, there's one night in particular, there was this one girl and we never really let her come over because she had really crazy parents and they would always cause like an issue and whatnot. And she was very nice, but she would always drink way too much. And this one night, we were all actually 19. This was actually when we were in college. So our first year of college, this is one of the last parties we ever had. And so there's like 20 of us there. I think it might have been Christmas break. So it's freezing outside, so we can't go outside. So sure enough, like she has a little bit too much to drink, and everyone's like, okay, like we had to like put her to bed essentially, like on when it wasn't like a crazy rager like that. But then I guess her mom ends up showing up in the driveway, gets in the house or gets knocks on the door, right? All 20 of us go into the back of like his carpenter garage, right? It's this little room. There's like 20 of us rammed into this little tiny storage room, right? Kyle has had way too much to drink. He's somehow in his boxers, laying on the couch, okay? Mom somehow managed to get in the front door of our place. We used to call it the shop. She got into the shop, okay? And she just starts screaming at our friend. And this is nothing new, right? And we're all just like kind of like laughing or whatever. But Kyle like comes to, and he looks over at her, and this lady's pretty intimidating. She's like mega Karen. If like that, you know what I mean? Like this.
Oh yeah, did she have the haircut as well?
I don't know about the haircut, but like that's okay. How you describe it, to paint a picture. And he looks over at her and he goes, "Man, would you just shut up?" And like we're like 19 years old or whatever, just little shitheads. And Oliver's like, she's like, "Brooke, I'm gonna call the cops on you. You're dosed. You're done." But I just remember looking at all my friends, terrified, laughing, and then my one buddy was like scared that we were in the back, and it was like all of us just fumbled out of this back room because there was this one back little door. And by the time that she was done screaming, she came out, and there was like 20 of us sitting by her car. It's a very awkward experience, but I don't know why Kyle made me think of that one. But there's a lot of other ones. I mean, Kyle getting way too hammered and he decided to jump off like his roof. Somehow didn't break anything.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, there was a lot of like really just getting Kyle to do really dumb things. But nonetheless, the best party I've ever been to was my grad party, though. I told this on stream. I was with my high school girlfriend and my best friend Kyle and his girlfriend at the time. And I had my shitty car. And right before at graduation, like the valedictorian, she's very popular. But I was kind of like in like every group. Whereas mm-hmm. Kyle was like the class clown, so he like really wasn't like, you know, like the jocks and like athletes or whatever didn't really like him all that much because he was just kind of annoying in that sense. But he wasn't like hated. Anyways, he wasn't getting invited. He wasn't like he was getting invited anywhere. And so the valedictorian girl comes up to me and she's like, "Hey, we're having a party. You guys need to come." And I looked at her, I'm like, "You sure?" And she's like, "Yeah, absolutely." So I was like, "Okay." She's like, "Just bring a tent." And I was like, "All right, sure. Why not? You know what I mean? It's grad. This is the last time we're in high school." I show up and there's this place in Niagara called Chippewa. And it's like the city that runs along the top of the falls. So it's very, very nice and along the parkway. And like you can literally run around this path that is like water, like the top of the water before you go over the falls. And we're driving back and we get to her address. And it's like this, dude, it's like out of a movie. It's like a 50-foot driveway into this like two-story like mansion thing, and I'm like, all right, I see all these cars parked up front. I park my car, I grab our tent, and I can hear the music. I get in behind, and we walk around the side of the house, and dude it was legitimately like out of a movie. I will never forget the scene. It was like on the left was like 50 tents, and on the right this big huge sound system set up with spotlights like crisscross on the backyard lawn that made like a dance floor. And there was this like 10-foot bonfire made out of like wooden slats and volleyball.
This was at her house, right?
Yeah, dude. And she just threw this party. But I'll never forget. My graduating class was maybe 100 people. Like my school maybe had 700, so maybe it was like 150, 200 people. And there was like well over 100 people at this party. And one of the guys that like I was friends with that was on the football team comes up to me. And he's like, dude, he hands me a beer and he's like, "Dude, you got to come see this." I was like, "Okay." And there's like kind of like a circle, like commotion going on. We walk in and one of the biggest nerds ever must have had his first beer. And he is just losing his mind, having the time of his life dancing around, and no one was making fun of him. It was just hilarious. It was just happiness. Good. And it was one of the best parties. There was no drama. It was every single click at my high school. I will never forget. It was very, very fun.
Yeah, that's but awesome. Anyways,
yeah, it was a nice memory. Yeah. All right, let's talk. Let's get GWC out of the way. So.
Oh yeah, let's get it out of the way.
I mean, you know, so this weekend you've got a big tilt.
I do, man. How exciting is that? I'm actually really looking forward to this.
It will be very, very fun to watch because it is like, it is by far the best GWC matchup so far.
Yeah, easily, right? So, first round, I'll be playing Saphir. And then the other side of that four-man bracket, you have Kush and Regs playing against each other. So whoever wins out of me and Saphir will be playing one of those two. So
do both those games happen? Like both those series happen same day?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that insane?
So if you win these two rounds, you're in the draft,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, you're in the draft then.
So for anyone that doesn't know, we're down to 16 people on each console. And when they get down to 4 people on each console, they enter a draft where they no longer use their own HUT teams. And the 16 people will actually draft a team from a pool of players, and it will mimic versus player stats. So Connor McDavid will be like 94, 93, you know, for example. And it'll be like everyone will be, it'll be even, essentially. You can mm-hmm. draft your own team. But craziness is that 16 people, how long is this draft going to take?
Dude, I don't know, because like the last, whenever they've done the draft, it's always been like eight
people in a draft. It's the final eight, yeah.
Yeah, so like, I wonder if they've never included like the full NHL roster. It's always been like certain players, but I wonder with 16 people if they will.
I heard that it is supposed to be like quite a full roster, because yeah, there was like years where I'm trying to think of an example, like Taves wasn't in the lineup, or you know what I mean, Bergeron wasn't in the list of players, but like McDavid and Matthews weren't all the big ones. But so yeah, I would think that it's almost a full list. But man, 16, if you draft first, you're not drafting again until 32nd. Like,
isn't that insane?
The teams are gonna be awfully balanced. Like, it's
I really hope I get to that part, because I like the draft. Like, that's the most fun to me.
Yeah.
So that'd be a lot of fun. But that's a big if. Like, that's a huge if.
You definitely have all four of you have the hardest route. So Kess or Regs was the runner up in North America of last year. So he was one game away from winning the GWC. And then you have Kush, who you beat last year.
Yeah.
Very, very good player. And then you have Saphir, who is again among the top 10 for sure in North America. It is definitely going to be what's your strategy? Has anything changed?
Yeah, dude, it's changed a lot. And Saphir, I ended up playing Junior Pens on stream a couple times on Friday night, and I knew Saphir was watching, and I'm like, I don't care. So it's a lot of shots. I'm kind of like, it's a mixture between the Junior Pens play style and mine. I ended up scrimming Junior Pens a couple weeks ago, and he was doing some stupid stuff that worked. So I ended up putting it into my game plan. And I think if I mix all that stuff together, I have a really good shot.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever changes defensively, just skill zone, right? So
I'm curious for is that, no offense to either of you, but there's always been moments in your GWC runs, both of you in the past, where like you've gone out earlier, maybe. Not last year for you, you played Gren, but in prior years, right? But still, nonetheless, like it was early.
I agree with that completely, yeah.
Yeah, so one of you is going to be awfully close, like, you know, and you'd have to think it's Regs, but Kush is a very good player, and Regs seems to have not played nearly as much this year than he did prior.
Yeah,
which is tough. So it'll be really interesting. And then all the other brackets, it's just there is a clear favorite on each console, and I think we're starting to see the issues that are going to arise, obviously, with EA not making cross console, and then GWC having to run with four. You know, the issue with that, because, you know, I mean, whether it be bans or upsets or whatever, like the top player pool is just shrinking. So
looking at like the players that are left, I forget if I told this to you. No, I didn't tell this to you earlier. Have you ever looked at like the standings from like the 1999 Tour de France, where it's like you look back and like 9 out of 10 people are banned later for like PEDs? Like, that's kind of what like the top player list for NHL GWC is right now, because everybody's just getting knocked out.
God, it is a wild, wild affair. I hope that at some point we get some clarity on it. You know, in terms of like consistency and reasoning behind, you know, everything. Obviously, I don't know if there's an appeal process or anything like that, but it's tough. A lot, especially the lifetime thing. I mentioned this on the last podcast. I think that is way too over the top. But I don't run the events, nor am I involved currently yet. So I'm just someone who plays NHL and talks about it. So nonetheless,
Of course.
Montreal, man, does this one feel less? It feels less. Like, it just...
Yeah, I think this whole year has an asterisk on it, right? Especially with GWC.
it's crazy because last year with COVID, like you would think that would be worse because of the four consoles and then all of the bands and people just tattling on each other and just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, tough, yeah. Man. It's tough. A lot, and I don't know what's going to come of it. And I mean, the future GWC matches, we lost some of like the best players in the world.
We did. Yeah. I mean, we lost Josh, you know,
Josh John Wayne's out. The biggest one.
I know John Wayne's knocked, not out for the band, but like he was knocked out and he's always somebody that goes far and always has exciting matchups.
Yeah. His events Cammy was like one of the best, like, GWC games I've seen, like, ever watched. It was just really good. So
yeah,
but it just feels like I don't know, its luster is not there, and I'm wondering like, and I don't, and I'm assuming it's because of the bands, but it's just like, well, less hype, I guess would be the way to say it. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and less like streams leading up to it. Like last year you had like the every weekend for a month. Yeah, was like, you know,
I would think that we see some streams after the draft portion, or maybe even the draft itself. I hope the draft is streamed because I think a lot of people that play Hut would like to see how, you know,
how. Dude, like, if I make it there, I'll have the draft room like Belichick that one year with his dog in the room. Do you remember that?
With any leaves and it goes back to it. It's just it'll a dog just be in the Henry. Laptop.
Yeah.
And it looks like Kesso drafts Dustin Byfuglien.
Yep, for sure.
Oh man, how about that clip that my editor Tyler made?
Oh dude, that was hilarious. He's good, man.
Dude, I saw the original thing and I'm like, Tyler, I need you to dress this up a little bit. And if you haven't seen it, it's Kesso it's baby Kesso from 2013.
Nineteen.
And he's at a Virgin Gaming tournament, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
How much was the prize pool in that?
Oh, dude, 70K for first. Isn't that insane?
That makes me ill.
Dude, I had the worst, I had the like most confidence going into that. And then like, I talked about it. Some French
Tuukka
guy.
Rask?
Oh. No, I didn't. I didn't lose to him. It wasn't the year he won. I lost to some French guy. I went down screen. No. Cause he wasn't even around then. Like this guy's not around. Like a lot of those people aren't around anymore.
No. Yeah, for sure. None of them are. Like very few. Yeah, it showed a clip of like the room packed. Like, who was there?
So it wasn't just that tournament. So Virgin Gaming at the time, it was $1 million tournament, I believe. So NHL had a $200,000 prize pool, and Madden and FIFA had $400,000 prize pools. So they were giving away $1 million that day. So they had pretty much 256 Madden players, 256 FIFA players, and then 128 NHL players, all in that huge. Like event space. It was awesome. And the bad thing about it is like, that's probably like the most exciting tournament that's ever happened in NHL, but it's also like the worst ran. Like it was all single elimination, like throughout. And then like somebody had to go down screen two periods.
The down so, screen like, part I remember was brutal.
And the single elimination's rough too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like completely randomized brackets too. Like, so I remember that year I was in a bracket with like, or no, the year before I was in a bracket with like No Bounds and like
No some Bounds. Of the other big names. I love that. He's awesome.
Yeah. Like it was just like, people that didn't know how to run like that kind of event, or like they didn't care and they were more putting it on for the spectacle. Right.
Yeah. No, exactly. But,
those were a lot of fun because I got to see like, Madden players that like I grew up watching. Like I remember, Problem Wright was there.
Really?
So seeing him, yeah,
he has been around that long.
His subathon's going on as long as yours right now because I follow him on here. So like seeing him play, I think that might have been the year he won. And it was just cool, like to just go around and like watch those like other games going on and stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, dude, well, I mean that'd be great if they did that this year, like what? Or like just in the future, like if they had some big like EA event like that where like
they have all potential. The games were... I think like because there's something with DreamHack, right? Like there's a big DreamHack that happens, I think, in Montreal. I would suspect this year, if outsiders are allowed in, that this would probably be the most people from the community. It would just all be the, you know, the people that get too ping that we're not, you know what I mean? They'd all show up at, you know, I would suspect that. It's always more fun to have more people in attendance for it. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. And if we even make it there at this point, man, guys are dropping like flies. So
dude, yeah, you're talking about the subathon though.
Dude, yeah. So the subathon, yeah, it's at 400. This is the first night that I am out of energy early. So
yeah, you seem like it. I was worried about you texting you.
No.
I was just like, yeah.
As it goes along, it got down to like 20 hours last night, and some of the boys popped it up to like 64 again. It was weird. Obviously, it's great. Like, I'm happy, and it is done. Today, I got a follow from MLB Gaming, the official gaming account of the Major League Baseball, which pretty much puts the exclamation point or the final nail on everything that I wanted to have happen. Bro, I competed in my first ever MLB community event.
The G Fuel one, right?
Bro, I had the time of my life because I was I had no shot at winning, and I went in knowing, and I was just scared that I would embarrass myself because no one knows who I am, really. Even the guys competing, some of them knew me by name, like a couple of them did, which I was extremely grateful for, and they were all so nice. And then obviously I knew like the G Fuel guys and whatnot, but I saw the bracket I was in. I was like, I'm just not going to give up 10. That's it. Because that's what happens when you get mercied, right? And you can't even technically get mercied in a 3-inning game. It was just 3-inning games in the round robin. But I was like, I'm going to make sure I don't lose by 10, and I'm going to make that the gimmick the whole thing. So I played Cougs, who is an incredible player, and ScoMo as well, who's a really, really big Madden guy too. And then I played Graceful Swan, who is legitimately Polgs, who ended up winning. So first game, all right? Again, whole goal, not to lose by 10, okay? I lose 9-0 to Graceful Swan, and I was ecstatic, and he found it funny. Like, it was like, I was like, all right, guys, like, I knew it was only gonna be more difficult. So the very next game, I knew ScoMo wasn't as good as Graceful Swan, still a very, very good player. Dude, somehow I win 8-3. Okay. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay, no matter what happens now, I know I'm playing Cougs, who's like, again, one of the best players in the world. I was like, it used to be, I don't know what his stance is right now. I know that he can go 12-0 and he dominates World Series. And like, I was like, I just don't want to be, 10-0 it again, right? Bro, the very first, I managed to hit a first inning home run. It's 2-0. And I managed to, you can't strike any of these guys out in the format because they're so good. I got crap contact from, they got all crap contact hits. I got bailed. Second inning, on my second at bat, I managed to get someone on base and I hit this absolute no doubt bomb. And it's on Twitter, and it was one of the most fun, like the most fun moments in I've had gaming, and I don't know how long, because I was so stunned that it happened. I ended up winning 5-1, and I was like, I moved on out of the round robin phase, and then I lost 4-1 to, again, another one of the better players in MLB. So everything it couldn't have gone better. It was everything That's I awesome. Wanted to do. Yeah, it was really. I'm really enjoying MLB, dude. I'm 420 hours in, right?
Yeah,
420 hours in. I'm still not done everything. Today, I'm working on my creative player to try and get him all full diamond so that if I want, I haven't found a shortstop I like. So I literally made a shortstop with like the swing stance of Joey Votto, who I mash with. And I'm like, okay. And you can get him all diamond so that you have like a 99 overall player. It's like, okay, yeah. Sure. I'm spending 2 days doing that. I'm still not done. And I'm at 420 hours. I've done everything else other than that. I'm just like, man, it's so nice.
Do you think you've played the most hours of MLB compared to anybody in the world?
It's got to be close, man. It's got to be close because I sleep about 8 hours a day. I have. Yeah. I feel like, the first couple days of the subathon, I was like, oh, I can't be sleeping on it, right? Like I slept like 4 hours a night. Now I'm sleeping like a good 8 hours. I throw on Better Call Saul and I just kind of zone out for a little. So good. Yeah. And but the subathon, I am blessed. I am a blessed boy. The fact that it has been going on for 18 days and I've currently got another 42 hours on the clock. Insane. But, this will be in the book,
This will be. It's like, I was thinking earlier, it's like that monkey paw thing. It's like you want to be a full-time Twitch streamer and now you have it, but it's literally full time.
Is a little excessive. Yeah, like this would be like I will do it for every launch of the game. However, it will not be 6 minutes a sub because that is now clearly insanity because my community is way too generous. It will be 3 minutes.
At this point next year it might have to be like 2 minutes or a minute.
Dude, because, so a regular subathon among guys that are like, XQC, the ones who do real like the marketed ones, it's 10 seconds. And they're, one of my favorite, I think I talked about this, one of my favorite streams, Pestilated, 41 days, 10 seconds. Dude, He got to number 7 all time in amount of subs, like 89,000.
Yeah, you just have to continue the stream for another 2 years and you can probably get there.
I'll be good, man.
Yeah.
But no, it's been it's very humbling. I do not like gifts. I'm very awkward with it. And, you know, when people show me insane generosity, I don't really know how to reciprocate it or, you know, and but nonetheless, it does look like it is slowing down. And something crazy on Saturday or Sunday, I legit leave to go to San Jose for the first time ever. I will be going.
Oh, you've never been there.
I have never been to San Jose. I've never watched a game. I've watched about 30 Sharks games, all in other arenas. Never been to Shark Tank. And so I'm hosting the Shark Specific Cup along with Grizz and Davos. They're coming as well.
And you guys are doing that from the arena, right?
Yeah, we're in. So we had a meeting today. We'll be in like the main penthouse suite. Like it's like the one that is directly in line with center ice.
Okay.
And it has the biggest opening. So we'll be doing that, man. And, I'm amped up for that. So, because obviously I've never been to San Jose, I've never gotten to see a game live. That we'll be calling it during a game, and I'm hoping that it'll end before. I hope it ends before.
Yeah.
So I can just sit and just chill. But, yeah, man, I'm so excited for that. But the subathon, I'm a man of my word, so if it's still going, I will pause it at 10 a.m. on the day that I fly, and I will go and go to work, come back, and the next morning at 10 a.m. I will resume, and we'll keep going. But I don't anticipate going that long, because
it has to end at some point.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. I haven't talked to you in, like, a month.
Right? Yeah.
Like, really talked to you in a long time. I guess it's been the 18 days, give or take some time.
It's becoming, like... Tonight is hard. I don't know why. I like I said, I think every day my gas tank gets a little bit, like the top end where it fills up is just getting lower and lower. So even when I get full, recharge, it's like at 50%, and I'm super unhealthy. Like I cannot wait to go to the gym. This is probably the worst I've ever been, even before when I lost someone with the prior time. But I'm actually excited because I have an idea that however long my subathon goes, whether it's 21, 22, 30 days, I will be doing like a 2-a-day 1700 calorie deficit with full 8 hours of sleep and making the health portion of my life the number one focus, and YouTube and Twitch on the back end, which I think I'm gonna have a really hard time with in the beginning, making sure that those two things are like health wise is met first before working about streaming and making YouTube videos. We'll see how it goes, but I'm really excited for that. I haven't been amped to get back in the gym like this since the last time I did it, like 3 years ago. So pretty pumped for that.
Yeah, man. You just need a break. You need a break from this.
Yeah, it's
But you accomplished like what I think you accomplished what you set out to accomplish.
It was like easily. Like I said, easily. Yeah, like everyone, like that community event I got invited to, I thought was it. Like I was like, okay. And then today I got that follow from MLB Gaming, and I was just like, all right. Like they follow 160 people. So I was like, okay, like this was all exactly what I wanted to do. And I want to thank everyone. If there's anyone that is gifted bits or subs that's listening, you guys made that possible, because if it didn't go as long and make as much noise as it did, then I wouldn't, have the, be able to do the fall. Dude, I'm averaging more viewers than I did in NHL. That scares me, man.
I told you, man. So what would you do then in September?
So
MLB, you're averaging 400 viewers. Everything's taken off. You just go to NHL for a little bit.
I think that it is the perfect like 6-month window, man. So right when NHL launches, something called the Finest comes out, and that's team of the season for MLB, and then it obviously dies out. It's not like MLB doesn't die. Like before launch, there was like 300 people in the directory, right? But I think it might work perfectly. And if that's, if that's the case and I've got some, then I'll just keep going. I can't just stop making MLB content when NHL comes out, though. So that'll be interesting. But it will be fun, because now I need to, if I can branch into a second game and make it a thing, then I can branch into a third. And when I can do a third, I can go into 5. And then I can wake up every morning. And that was the original goal I set 5 years ago when I started this like journey, was to wake up and play whatever game I wanted and live my life normally. Right. So.
Yeah,
which is literally the hardest thing to do on the platform. So,
yeah,
but yeah, so San Jose is gonna be fun. I'm excited for San Jose. It'll be the $30,000 Sharks Pacific Cup finals. It'll be Olympia, against Prodigy. So that has like Polgs and all them in it. And the broadcast crew is getting flown out to do the broadcast live.
It's you, Grizz, and who else?
And Davos.
Okay.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting.
Let's go.
So my wife and I were talking like the past couple weeks, and we started to look at houses in Florida.
Let's go, we man. Have like I love a, this, dude. Skylar.
I know, because like I saw her tweet at you today, like a little Florida keychain.
Yeah.
But we kind of have this like, it's not like an actual set goal.
Yeah.
But it was like if we moved anywhere, I see Tyler in the chat, yeah, like let's go,
he's
what
from
city?
Castle.
Like
he's from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So her aunt wants to move there and her brother wants to move there. So like it'd be nice to move there with people you know. And my requirement was like I don't want to be in an area where it's like hit by hurricanes every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So like I was looking up some of the safer
Eastern
areas
ones.
And like it said Kissimmee.
Yeah.
Which is like close to Orlando, which mm-hmm. I think would be really nice.
Orlando and Tampa in between there is where I would where is like my like strong like you know place I'm
dude, and then the houses we were looking at, like 350 or like 400,000, you can get like a really nice house. Dude, this one was like it was like four bedrooms or something, but like it had this really nice indoor pool. Like it was just cool as hell. And I'm like, okay, we can do that. I can work from home forever. Yeah. Like we never have to worry about the snow again.
Dude.
No state income tax, like yep. which depending on where I work, like that'll just be a little extra money in my pocket. Like
it no, just, absolutely.
It sounds ideal, man.
It's funny because everyone like craps on Florida, but I think once you get older, you start to realize that, like, dude, there isn't many places. If again, you can't live in certain places in Florida, but once you know you get your adult job and you're like, okay, I'm gonna pay tax here. Okay, all right,
yeah.
That's not bad. You know, houses are extremely affordable when you consider Southern Ontario and like New York State and all like upper or the eastern side of the states. Like, it's very very desirable. So I went to Orlando for the lighting event and Kevin from Rare Drop was driving me around and we were talking about it and he was like, yeah, dude, love it. Like it's so, we'll see. That's funny though. Cause yeah, my wife just tweeted, she was Googling how to become like, you have to get an immigration lawyer, all that.
Yeah.
Not hard though, because I do get paid by YouTube and Twitch, American companies. I can get my visa very, very quickly. And then I would be her sponsor. So,
yeah.
Maybe the goal is by the time I'm 35. So 2025. If I can make that happen.
It'd be nice.
Could you imagine?
Could you? I know, right?
That would be so funny. Like,
wouldn't it?
We were tired from chat.
Yeah, we were talking about like, especially like we'll probably have like a few kids. We can get like season tickets to Disney and shit. Just like, go whenever. Which I know, like, I think the adult thing is to like hate Disney World. But like, there's also those weird people like me
that like it.
But it'd be fun and like. And like I'm looking outside, like not right now because it's dark out, but like, dude, it was raining here all day. Not that it doesn't rain in Florida, but like it was cold and just dude. Never have to shovel snow again in your life.
I haven't gone outside in a couple days, just unfortunately, right? I go my back door for a second to get some fresh air and I was like, it's snowing. And I'm like, what in the I mean, it was enough to be on the ground and my backyard was wet. I looked up at Skyline, I'm like, what in the world? It's just like, my goodness, dude.
Somebody just said the podcast would be done live in the same room.
To imagine, we would just have scotch.
Who even knows if I'll still be like obviously you will. This is your career, but who even knows if I would by that time? But if I do, and this thing is, I'm still enjoying this, that would be fun.
You got the itch, man. It's just every time NHL comes back around, like it'll die. Like you're gonna have no interest at all after GWC, other than the podcast. And then the new game will come out, and you'll be like, all right, these are the videos I got to make. Here's the times I get straight. And then it just all kicks back in. And obviously, you're gonna have a plus one in your home. Did we announce like all that on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about...
You found out if it's a boy or girl.
Yeah, I'm having a baby girl.
Yes, excellent.
I can't wait, dude. I'm very excited.
That's going to be dope,
We started buying... So we're going to do a Winnie the Pooh themed nursery.
Okay.
So we didn't buy that furniture yet and stuff, but we started picking some out. But we were at the bookstore the other day looking at like books and stuff. And like I like being able to see, like I forget, The book I bought her, it was like Fearsome Tales for Little Girls. Like, it was like, I don't know if that was, that sounds kind of scary, but it was about like girls that like do badass things, you know, like, okay. It's not like the typical like princess or like rescuing Rapunzel. Cool. So we bought that. We got some clothes and stuff. Like, I have like, what is it? There's like a fantasy football legend or something, little like baby outfit. Like, that's number one pick. Like, dude, I'm excited.
That's awesome, buddy. You're going to be
Because she'll
phenomenal.
Be here for football season. Like, she'll yes, be here. She will. Yeah, our delivery date or whatever date is like August 28th. So, you know, a weekend or Dang. Two later, she'll be right next to me watching, you know, week one. I'll have money on DraftKings on the games. She'll be rooting with me.
That's her college tuition. That's right. We're going to try and make it. So I made a video on NHL today or yesterday. Newsflash, there's not much content to cover anymore in NHL, which is normal. Like every sports game, you know, we're at the end. So usually this is where I start going over like what I would like to change or what I would like to see changed or flaws or, you know, theme teams, stuff like that. So while Sabaton was going on, I asked chat like if I should talk about things I'd like to see changed. And I have to go about this much more carefully after what happened, the whole AP nonsense. So I want to make this very clear for anyone listening that didn't watch the video. I started off with Hut Rush. I was like, let's change Hut Rush, okay? And I said that this isn't. I was like, I want feedback on it, and because I won't give my recommendations for Hut Rush and things like that unless I get a solid amount of feedback stating that yeah, what you're saying is actually accurate. Because if not, then I'm not gonna. Yeah, I just really after the whole AP thing where I got flamed, like it's just. You know, my interest in providing feedback has gone far down because now it impacts me, not just financially, but like my business. It impacts my business. If I give my feedback and EA uses it, yeah, that impacts my business now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Hut Rush real quick. So here are my five things that I want to change. I had five things, okay? I want to hear if you agree with all of them, okay? One is the reward path. It leads to a guaranteed card at the end. So instead of like a power-up collectible, which I can't stand anyways, at the end of you completing the reward path, there is an event card that you can only earn by completing that Hut Rush reward. And what would be cool is if it was a master item, like a master card art. I don't know if that would like take an insane amount of resources for the graphic designer to come up with one more card, but that would be sweet. So, you know, you grind out, you know, 3 million points. And you get this 80. So let's say I use the example of 90 overalls, the master items at launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
88 would be the card that you get given.
Yeah.
So it's not
an issue with that.
Yeah. It's not, it could even be 90. You know, it could even be 90 regardless. And I think it should be a defenseman, goalie and a forward, a choice back. Maybe that's asking for too much, because the one downfall is that if it is one card, everyone will have those like six cards or whatever. And I, you know, I like the fact that they give us lots of choices now. The next thing, I want a shootout mode inside of it. I want to
inside shoot, of Hut Rush, right?
Yes. I think that it is mind boggling to me that a mode that is designed to be able to play for fun in a very short amount of time does not have a shootout mode. Yet the only competitive mode that we have to play the game, we have to play in overtime, which no one likes. So if you want to give us the shootout, the shootout stuff in Rivals, get that out of Rivals and give us our own dedicated shootout mode inside of Hut Rush that resets and whatnot every 2 weeks. Now, there will be objectives like there is right now. You know how it's like make 50 passes and you get 40,000 XP,
yeah.
Right? Well, instead that those 40,000 XP still goes to the reward path. But if you complete all of the shootout challenges, and it could be like 50 wins, right? It could be. Yeah. You know, like something like that. 50 wins is probably something in 2 weeks in a shootout. You know, no matter your skill level,
you can do that.
You like, can do that.
Shootouts
you just
are
play
mostly
more.
Luck. Yeah,
and it takes like what, like 6 minutes to do a shootout, if that.
Yeah.
You get a guaranteed card. So I gave the example of like an 86 Yuri Lehtinen, you know, that had 99 deking, and that is rewarded for you completing Hut Rush or completing the shootout mode of Hut Rush. The next thing was draft master set players. So anytime that there's a time where you've got to draft a team and it's like 5v5 or 6v6 or 3v3, You can only draft. The draft is no longer CHLers or random silvers or base cards. Enough of that. Give us the master set cards that are out, because then at least we can try them out. And that will drive people into Hut Rush no matter what. This doesn't even need, like, this could be tied into, I don't know, but like, or anything. But like, yeah, any mode that any needs to have master sets as the draft. Number four is a gimmick mode. So instead of just mascots, which, okay, you can still have they could be included every couple weeks, sure, like in a rotation. I want a week where it is all players above 6 foot that have truculence, and the goal is not to win. Well, it could be to win. You get bonus for winning, but it is get 500 hits. So that means,
I mean, with how Hut Rush is, I'm assuming they could just tweak like the points given. Like, I know it wouldn't be for wins, but like a hit could be worth like 1,000 points instead of like typically it's worth like 100.
Exactly. And I think that these are all things I want to mention that I think that are in the realm of possibilities of actually being able to be done. I'm trying to give it with like the game changer glasses where like, I know I'm not going to be like, come out with like, we're going to get like a, you know, everything is supposed to be exactly like MLB. Like, it won't be like that. But like, these are things that I think it realistically could change. I think that would be fun. So like, let's say you got a truculence event on normal ice. The next week could be 3-on-3. Everyone's under 6 foot, has wheels, and it's on international ice. Like, and you know what I mean? Like, and the goal, and it's a score, like, you know, get the 10 or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
Something like that. Another really fun one. Again, these could be rotated in, because if you split it up too much, it's not going to happen because there's not enough of a player base. But imagine a mode where a play style where it's 5v5. It's, you start with the draft choices. This would be the best way to do the draft master set. So you draft your master set players, right? Every time you score with one, that player comes off the ice. And the goal is to win, get first person to 5 goals. So you score.
That's really cool.
That right wing comes off the ice. You score again. Yeah. That center comes off the ice, and now it's 5v3. And I just think that, like, dude, the content. And
it goes down to, like, if you score 4 goals before your opponent, you have one guy on the ice.
Yeah, versus 5, and now you've got to try and survive while they come back. Like, the content to try and 5-0 somebody would be hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a ton of fun too. Like, that would actually be fun.
Yes,
it would. Because like, worst case scenario, it's like whenever you do that, chances are it's going to be like 4-1 within 5 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you'll score early, and like, okay, now you're down a guy. You know, and like, even if you're a bad, like, you know, you're not a great player, and you're playing someone really good, it's still going to be very difficult to score 5v1. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that'd be really cool. I don't think they have it in the capacity or the tech to get down under 3, though.
I don't think so, and it's also like, would they have to reprogram certain things for how they would act?
That would never happen, and I, you know, but it would be a pipe dream. But I just thought that was a really, really cool. Someone in chat mentioned it, so that would just be a really, really cool idea to add to Hut Rush. But I think if they did those things, man, I would play Hut Rush every week.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I would play it every time that there's an event, not just to grind, but to the stupidity of like an all truculence event or the Survivor Series style. Like, I would, or shootouts.
Is that what it would be called? Survivor Series? Like, would there be, or like Man Down or something? Yeah. Like, the Survivor Series might be trademarked by wrestling.
Probably, yeah. Survivor Series probably would be. But like, yeah, like, it'd just be, man, it would just be so much fun. And I think Hut Rush has I think the rewards tree, like the reward path, is super cool that that's in Hut. The rewards are just bunk. Like, you don't want them, right? But I think that if you give that guarantee reward at the end, you're going to get a lot of people in Hut Rush. And again, if you make the rewards more fun, I just it's very cookie cutter. Like, clearly it's designed to be very cookie cutter. And, you know, we'll have to see. But that was mine on. The last thing and probably the most important. So I think you were a game changer when Hut Rush was around, did it? That was your first game, right?
That was my first year. So I remember joining in like the summer and people were talking about it. And I was like, what the hell is this Hut Rush thing?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So I remember it being kind of described as a way to bridge ESHL players over into Hut. You know, it's very ESHL. It has a very ESHL look to it. You know, I think there's outdoor rinks and stuff, or there was. Yeah. And like, you know, it seems like that. Imagine you could invite your buddies. And your buddies work toward their XP path in Hut Rush. So we get a team of 6 and we line up for Survivor Series. And your boys are with, like, it's 6, your 6 buddies. There's a goalie, a human goalie like, and you're playing Hut Rush, that would be a blast. Or even if you're not, like, let's say you're doing shootout mode, you got five buddies with you, each one of your buddies takes a shot. Like, how that isn't in the game is mind-boggling. If its goal was to try and, you know, bridge those ESHL players in the Hut, the ability to actually play with your buddies, like, if it's 3v3, have a three team, like, dude, that would be a blast on Friday nights if you got your boys together or whatever, and like, you just had to, like, you just, it's just nonsense. Like, that's what it'd be. It would be utter nonsense. It wouldn't be sweating, and even if it was, it's way more fun to try and, you know, beat a guy who's trying his heart out with six of your friends, right?
Yeah, I would just want to try to 5-0 somebody in that Survivor Series. Same, that sounds like
that's
fun,
it, you know? 5-0, like, that's the ultimate, right?
Like, that's the ultimate, like, you suck at the game, send that message after, you know?
You know, you got 5-0'd, like, yeah. Oh, 1v5? Oh, if you were against anyone that was a Division 3 and above, how hard do you think that would be?
Incredibly hard, especially with, like, how the game is now. I would say, like, NHL, like, 08, 09, like, those years, you could probably do it because the game was so arcadey.
And there's no time and space. Like, there's
even, like, Division 7 and above, like, it'd still be really hard to, like, 5-0 somebody.
I think so, man. Imagine there was an achievement for it, and you got, like, custom jerseys if you ever 5-0'd someone.
Yeah, or, like, a player or something. But I guess they'd also have to be worried about, like, win trading or something, like, yeah, for that. Like, you get matched up, but, yeah, that'd be fun.
It'd be so much fun, dude. Like,
I haven't touched Hut Rush all year except maybe like the first week
when you're like, I gotta grind out all the rewards for every single mode, and then it's like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
I just think that those five or six changes to Hut Rush would make it just a, I don't want to say a perfect mode, but pretty close. Like, I don't know what else you could add to it. Do you have anything else that you think that you'd rather see?
We've talked about it a lot with like the Truculence event. Like, I want to see longer term milestones from Hut Rush. Because, like, right now, it's all based on a two-week one, like a two-week window. So whatever those are, right? So, like, I know some of them are, like, score the one-handed dekes. Like, I would love to see, like, long-term ones, like, score 100 of those and get, like, a Forsberg. Or, you know, do, like, whatever other deke, like, I think if it's tailored to a player.
You have to be careful with that because the community's not big enough. Like, I'll use MLB as an example. Like, there's, like, missions in Battle Royale where it's, like, get five hits or get a certain amount of XP with certain cards that are drafted, and it's so hard to match up with your buddy because it's cross content and like that. I don't know if a guarantee rewards for that, but it would be cool if you got like power of collectibles or maybe not an X factor.
I don't even think like the cards you get have to be amazing.
It could just be jerseys or something to flex. Like, imagine you got to 500 shootout wins, golden stick.
I mean, for me, that's not like, you know,
that would give you, it's not enough to move the needle, but you would want that golden stick.
It's something that should be in the game that isn't. I think.
Like same thing, stuff like that. Like MLB does it great with like bats. There's like 100 of them, you know, and you can get different kinds. Like, you can get one with the cats with lasers on it and stuff by doing like a certain event. Like, that should be for sure.
Well, you got to watch out because then you get the people that come in like, that's not real hockey and stuff, you know.
I guess,
like,
I'm sure there's some of those
in baseball where it's like, it's not real baseball. Like, I've played the game a little bit, you know. If there's like a bat with like laser eyes, like, people are probably like, you know, Mickey Mantle wouldn't use this bat.
I don't see that a lot. I guess, I mean, okay. I don't know.
Oh, maybe the community is different then. I think there's a lot more purists and that play
there
hockey
is for sure.
Compared to people that play the baseball game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be fun. I would like that. I mean, they used to have like, I mean, I know it wasn't in Hut Rush, but they used to have like the banners and stuff in your arena that you like saved for getting like a playoff championship.
Yeah, exactly.
I would like to see more stuff carry over for the player, like more like flex items, you like to say.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool, like banners that you hang from like the, you know, like from in your arena and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
That would be like, you get top 20 in Hut Champs.
Yep.
What's the next thing we should talk about? Like, what's the next like mode we should cover?
The next mode we should cover?
Oh, no.
Are we going to do this week? What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Do you want to do this weekly? Want to do like a different?
Yeah, we could do a different mode every week.
Weekly?
Yeah.
All right. Next week. There's
rivals?
Like three modes.
Yeah, you fix rivals or squad battles?
Well, let's fix squad battles because I've like written a lot to the devs this year about squad battles. So.
Oh, excellent. I'm kind of curious to hear about that. All right. Yesterday I wrote down something that I think that we should do every week where we pick a different topic and give our.
This is what I was going to bring up. The albums, right?
Yep. Three favorite albums.
This is actually
albums.
What I was about. Yeah, three favorite albums. So I thought about it. So
okay.
All right. How do you want to do this? Who's first?
You can go first. Name. Okay. Give us the parameters of what you.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I put thought into this. I was taking a shower earlier today, and I'm like, oh yeah, we have to talk about that. So I'll go with my three albums. So number one, I am going to go with Blink-182's Untitled album, the one that came out in 2003. Okay. Had like Feeling This on this, I Miss You or whatever, which, you know, obviously gets overplayed. And then the parameters of it, I think that like early 2000s to mid 2000s, like that pop punk era was great because like it came right after and you're older. So you remember this, like that late 90s, like wrestling was really big and like Limp Bizkit and Korn.
A lot of that
and
stuff.
There was this, and there was this like hyper masculine, like just like stuff. Right.
Yep.
And it was like it was just garbage. It was like this alpha male garbage that there wasn't like a lot of thought and like art behind it.
Let's go one for one, by the way. Sorry to interrupt. Okay, let's go one for one. You give one, then I'll give one. So go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that album, like they had done like, you know, they had Take Off Your Pants and Jacket before that. They had Enema of the State. And that was like that changed like how that music genre was like made, because like after that you had like Good Charlotte that kind of tried to be like them, and you had so many bands that tried to be like them, and that was like that album to me is I think like the best of that type of music. But you know, I could go on and on about
what made you think of that, like give it, because like how I talked about this on stream too, one of like the deep talks I've had during my subathon at night. Someone asked me a question while I was flying back from the Dominican on Twitter. Is like, what's your favorite song? And I was like trying to determine like how do you determine what your favorite songs are? And how I came about this was like, they have to be tied to a moment.
Yeah,
like it has to, because if you just like a song, you'll play it over and over again and then it'll be forgotten about and you'll get sick of it, right? Like that's happened to like, but there's got to be a few songs, and same thing with albums. So I'm going to give we grew up in like the last I guess right in the middle of like CDs and Walkmans. So like, I feel like albums now, like an album drops, you binge it, right? But then it's really you just listen to the singles. Like for the most part, for people that aren't obsessed with an artist, let's say like if you're not obsessed with Kanye, okay? Kanye's album drops, you listen to whatever like the most popular ones are. Or someone drops a bunch of singles and then it's like an album comes out, like MGK, like I'll do that. But like I think that albums back in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s, when like CDs were still like really pop at their height of their popularity, which is crazy to think about. We literally listened to CDs at the height of their popularity.
Yeah.
And it only lasted like, man, like cassettes and like whatnot, like went from like 98 to like, or like up until 98 and then like CDs
up until
were
like 98. Yeah.
We're like 99 to like, then I remember like I got my first MP3 player when I was 14, which is like 2004. So like CDs were only around for like 5 years, and where it was like, you know, they were around for like a decade, but like still like weren't huge. So why during that period of time did you binge the album all the time? Do you have the CD?
Whenever that album came out, I was like 9 years old, right? So I really wasn't listening to them. I remember being like 6 or 7, hearing like All the Small Things on the radio, and like as a little kid you like the music. Yeah, exactly. Like so you like the music, and then like I think everybody in high school at some point, like some dude gets into Blink-182 because it's like they were cool, but they also like explained feelings, and like, you know, you understood like where they were, or like, you know, that music spoke to you, especially as like an awkward like teenager, right? Like a lot of like guys that are just like, oh, you know, these people kind of get me. Like, how do I talk to a girl or something, or like making fun of things, right? So like I got into them heavy in high school, and then, you know, I think, like I said, I think it just speaks to like a lot of people in high school whenever you,
I guess that's true, like that, those that genre.
Yeah, that genre of music. And then as I got older, like my wife really likes them, so that's like one of the bands that we can listen to, like we can put on any song and listen to Blink-182, right? But then it's like I like a lot of their other projects they've done, but I think that album specifically, I think that's their best one, just because it's like I can listen to that as an adult and enjoy it because it's more mature themes compared to like if I listen to Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, like I'm just, you know, it's like made for like 16 year olds, you know.
It So when you talked about like remembering like why that album was like one of your favorites, yeah. It immediately made me think back. Like, I never liked Blink 182, and I thought they were like too old. Like when was that? Can you see when that album was made?
It was 2003, I believe.
Which is crazy because, when I think back to that era, I was obsessed with "Does This Look Infected" by Sum 41. Okay. And, I feel like those two bands were very, very closely tied together.
They were, because they were right around the same time, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Because, Sum 41, did they have, that All Killer, No Filler or something? Was that them?
Yep, All Killer, No Filler. Okay. That was, one of their first albums, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But Does This Look Infected, thinking about it now, I think that if I have to think about it, it's not one of my favorite albums. I think that if you were to do this exercise, it has to be they have to come to you. If you have to think about it too much, I don't think it's your favorite album.
Yeah, for sure.
So it has the Hell song, which I absolutely love, Still Waiting, Over My Head, has some of the best songs from that era. But I will go with Mesmerized by System of a Down. I think that from start to finish, you have to really like Serj Tankian's voice because it's not for everybody. And some of the songs are just absolutely way out there in terms of lyrics and just. But I think BYOB is one of the anthems of that era of rock. I think there's no way not to listen at, or there's no way to listen to that song and not be fired up, ready to run through a wall. And I remember buying that album, and it was when San Andreas came out. I was in grade 9. And I would go and stay at my mom's house when she lived in the States. My parents split up, and I would go and stay. And obviously, I didn't have any friends there because I didn't go to school there. So I would just bring my big, huge Xbox, original Xbox, and play San Andreas. And they had a feature where you could put a CD in, and then you can go to the radio station, and it was whatever was that you had downloaded to your console. So I would just listen to Mesmerize while grinding San Andreas. Yeah, whenever that's I was awesome. In. And that's one of my, and then not to mention I learned everyone learns four songs on a guitar, and my one buddy was a really good drummer, really good musician, had a pretty semi-successful band that made it to Much Music's a show on Much Music, which is basically MTV Canadian version. Mesmerize is one of my top three. It's not my number one, but it is definitely in my top three. I listen to it on stream from start to finish. I love every song. All right, so let's hear your number two.
Number two, I have to go My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye. So I was that came out the end of 2009, I believe, going into 2010. And I just remember being over at my friend's house. We were playing Call of Duty or something. And then I just remember listening to that album repeatedly. And I'm the biggest Kanye fan in the world. I still love him. I don't care what goes on. And that to me is the best album of all time. I don't know if it's my favorite, but just sonically, everything going on in the album is just flawless. It was he went out and he was I'm going to make the greatest album ever. Every single song is going to be perfect. And it was I love the album. I could listen to it every day.
I wonder if I have psychologically a thing where I don't like what everyone likes, because I have never been big into Kanye, and I like every genre of music.
But if that was the case, right? There's a lot of people that hate him.
Not when what's the second album?
Graduation. Late Registration. Graduation's the third.
When Graduation came out, there was no one that disliked Kanye.
You're right, because that was stronger. So he was at some of the peak of his popularity, right?
Yeah, I liked a lot of those songs, but for whatever reason, I did not like. And maybe I didn't like that kind of rap. I've been someone who I love Top 40 because I like something that has a really good verse and a really good beat, and it could be country, it could be screamo, it could be EDM, it does not matter, as long as it has a good beat and a chorus, I love it. So Kanye stuff is lyrically I don't really care a ton about lyrics. My buddy, I have a few friends that are really big into music, that they listen to the lyrics, and the lyrics speak to them, I guess, or that kind of hits home. I very rarely pay attention to the lyrics. I really just pay attention to the sound, which is, I guess, weird. I don't know, but all right, so I am I'm having a hard time with number two, because it's one of two, and I know one of them, it's because when you said Call of Duty, immediately I was what was in my boombox when I was grinding Halo 3 with my friends.
Yeah.
And an album came out in the middle of it. So Disturbed is my was my favorite band.
Oh,
it probably
wow.
still is. Yeah, it's probably still is my favorite band. Yeah. And 10,000 Fists is like there is not a bad song on that album and some of their best songs ever. But Indestructible came out and still very good. But I think that there are songs that are weaker and some that are among their best. In 10,000 Fists, I don't think there is a weaker song. Okay. So I will say it's 10,000 Fists. Again, like I remember just because I think Indestructible. The thing about Indestructible is I remember one of the last. I was in grade 12. Me and my buddy, me and my buddy Kyle, we had already been accepted to college, and we skipped our second half of classes. And Disturbed came out. We met my buddy who went to another school, and we ended up going to concerts and like with them all the time. But we went to HMV. And or Sunrise before it closed down, Sunrise Records, it closed down. We bought this album and we drove around in my 94 Plymouth Sundance and we listened to the whole album like three times. And that's part of me why I remember why I want to say it's my favorite because I have such a distinct memory of listening to it. Uh-huh. But it's 10,000 Fists. Like I'm just looking over the songs. 10,000 Fists would be my would be in my top three for sure.
I liked them a lot whenever I was younger. I did see them on right around that time period when Indestructible came out, they were touring with Slipknot.
Yep.
For I forget what tour it was. And I saw
Lake
both of them
at Darien Lake. What's in Ohio? Is it Darien Lake?
Oh, dude, I have no idea.
Oh man, what is the someone's in chat here? What is the big venue that is where people where tons of bands play in Ohio? Anyway, sorry, continue. Yeah, like
dude, that tour though. I remember I went for Disturbed because I like them. And then I was like, oh, I'm not too big into Slipknot. And I saw Slipknot and ended up loving Slipknot like way more. Like, I think their first three albums, even like their fourth one, what was that? All Hope Is Gone was good. But like, I ended up being like, okay, I love Slipknot now. Like after seeing them live. But I like Disturbed's. Was it the first album?
Believe and Down With the Sickness is a little too heavy for me. Believe is the album that everyone forgets about. And okay. I liked it more than any of my friends that were obsessed with Disturbed too. I don't think it's Six Flags. Maybe it is Six Flags. There's a venue and I just can't remember what it is for some reason. Dude, my third album. This is way too hard.
A three. Like, because even though I'm saying these albums, dude, there's like 50 that I love.
Yeah.
Because like you said earlier, like, how do you decide your favorite song? And it's like you're always connected to a moment. And there's probably like 100 songs like I love that it's like at any moment they could be my favorite song.
I think with an album, it's like, again, I don't think it can happen anymore. Like, I don't think, like, because it's so single heavy, like, you don't really release an album anymore. You release a single.
I'm big into music.
Yeah.
Like I like following it and stuff. And I think like, not that I'm saying you're wrong because I think like more people paid attention to albums 15 years ago, It's like, if you wanted the single, like you had to buy the CD, right? Like if you wanted like Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time, like you're buying her CD, which is like a random example I used. But like now, like,
we have
you
to
can
go
just
five.
Pick and choose, right?
We have to
you
go pick five.
We have to go five.
We have to go five. So name your third.
My third one, I'm going to go Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Mad City.
Okay.
So I remember I was one of the first, I think I was the first person to listen to him in high school. Because like I found like I was on like, dude, I was the biggest nerd in high school. So like on like rap message boards and stuff, right? Like, and I remember like downloading the Overly Dedicated mixtape he had. Like it was like a couple years before Good Kid, Mad City came out. I loved him. And then, like, he was coming out with an album. It was my, like, sophomore year of high school, I believe. Or sophomore year of college. That came out. And I was like, I have to have a Kendrick Lamar album on this. And so I'm going to go with the first one because it's, like, I remember when that came out, I was in between, like, classes and college. And, like, my roommate left. So I closed the door. I locked the door, shut the lights off, laid down, and listened to the album. And he might be, like, my favorite rapper besides Kanye. So there's an album of his. I'm going to go with the first one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Number three for me will be, why can't I think of the name of it? One second. I always mix up the two names. It is not Carolina. It's Chief. It's Chief by Eric Church. So this is the first album that I think a lot of guys go through this, where they are shunned by their boys for liking country music. And then you get to an age where you're like, man, this kind of slaps. And then you're like, okay, this hits me right in the feels. And then you just like country. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, given by what the albums that you've given, I don't know if you can stand country music. And I don't really blame you for not. But
I don't mind some of it. I don't listen to it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it is definitely one of my favorite genres. Again, it's very easy to have a good verse or a good chorus and a good beat to a country song. I also love acoustic. I love the sound of acoustic.
Yeah.
So I will go with Chief. I remember my mom she's been obsessed with country music her whole life, and I just was always like, this is so lame, every time that she would like play a CD in her boombox or whatever, and I was like hanging out. She convinced me to go to an Eric Church concert at Darien Lake, and she was going through a pretty hard time, and we hadn't seen each other very much. She'd actually gotten stuck in the United States. Her my ex-stepdad, like, a big falling out, they got divorced, and she got stuck there. So it was really rough on her, and we didn't talk a lot, and she got tickets to this Eric Church concert at Darien Lake. And we went, and we had a really, really good time, but then there's a specific song on that album called Homeboy, which is like probably his most famous song. And it just started pissing and thunderstorming, and we weren't in under the pavilion. And so we just decided we're just rocking out to it, right, with a couple of my friends. And they ended up being on the lawn of Darien Lake. It's a disaster, right? It is an absolute mess. So you get a little bit of rain there, and it's just pure mud. They made this mudslide. The pouring rain thundered, me and my mom slide down this huge mud. Like, it was just one of the most fun nights I've had that was, like, you know, with my mom, that I can think of, that I can, probably the most fun I've ever had with my mom. So that is definitely in my top five, because yeah, all of the songs on that, especially Homeboy. And it's the first really country artist that made me like country. So number four,
I'll have to check it out. Number four, you know, I don't care if nobody listens to this group. The Mountain Goats, The Sunset Tree. So the album is The Sunset Tree.
Do they have a single that like someone would know?
No Children. It actually got pretty big on TikTok like a year ago.
Oh, I love TikTok. Yeah. So maybe if
it got really big on TikTok. So I listened. I didn't get into them until I was an adult. Without getting too deep on this podcast, which we do sometimes, I guess. Yeah. The album is about like a kid. Like, he obviously is an adult now, but he's talking about his like relationship with his stepfather. So I come from like a shitty broken home. Yep. So it's like hearing all these things as an adult, you know, relating to the music. You know, I'd never heard anybody talk about these types of things before in music. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there were some songs where it's like, that was my childhood. Like, this is like everything I was feeling, okay. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I have to go with that whole album's about that. So like, it's just a great album. So I'll go with that one. I'll save a more popular one for the number five.
Say but, that yeah. again though. Like, what was it?
Oh, here. So the Mountain Goats is the band. And then the Mountain album is this. Goats. Yeah. The Sunset Tree.
Okay. Yeah. This is really hard now, because now we're down to two, and I will go with so when I'm trying to think of like moments in life, right? Because again, that's how I think that you determine music. I think that if it makes you reminds you of something, there's usually a song that you hear that listen to it, and when you're doing an album, it has to be multiple songs from the same album that like make you do it. So when I lost all of my weight and I got down to the healthiest I've been, right around my wedding, and I decided to be a content creator in like 2017. I listened, for whatever reason, this one album and the song, and how I found them is because it's from NHL. And now if you played Legend by The Score, you would hate it. But with the first time that you heard it in NHL 18, it was incredible, and it just got super overplayed. But the actual album called Atlas is an banger from start to finish, and that was I literally listened to every song from that album, whether it was morning cardio or when I had to do weights or when I was in CrossFit.
Who is this album by?
It's called Atlas, and Legend, if you played it right now, you'd be like, oh my god, I can't. Like, it is probably one of it's High Hopes. It's like, it's that. Oh. Yeah,
Legend. Wait, do they have High Hopes?
No, that's Panic the Disco.
Oh, okay.
But
so my issue is I always turn off the soundtrack like whenever I first log into the game.
So do I. But it was the hype track to like when promos of the game came out. Everyone listening that plays NHL knows exactly the song, I guarantee you. But the actual album from that was pretty incredible. So that would be Atlas by it's Atlas by The Score. That is the album. Okay. All right, you're on number five. This is where it gets hard.
Number five. I have to go with the Taylor Swift album, and I'm going to go Folklore, one of the newer ones. So first off, I love Taylor Swift. My wife got me into Taylor Swift in college. Yeah. She's great. Yeah. Started to like her during like 1989, like the one after, I think that was after the Red album. So 1989 was a great album. But 2 years ago, we moved into our house here and we were broke after we moved in because like, I remember I sold like Bitcoin and stuff. We bought our new house. We were like, we got to get out of where we're living. And then like a month, maybe after we moved in here, that album came out like, I think it was a surprise release on like YouTube and it was like midnight and we stayed up all night listening to that album, with like, you know, next to no furniture and shit. And, the album still, like, I love it. I can listen to every single song on it. So I'm going to go number five.
That's okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Respect. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out, like, my wife is obsessed with Fall Out Boy, and I like Fall Out Boy a lot. I was trying to think of something that would remind me of my wife, because I feel like that's something you should do. But it's, I love Fall Out Boy, but there isn't a full album where I listen. There's a lot that can go here. Like, there is a lot that I could go here. Like, Heist by Macklemore is a close. Thrift Shop, that's the one with Thrift Shop on it.
You and I have opposite music tastes.
Oh, for sure, I'm sure,
besides,
man.
Besides probably our love for late 90s and early to mid 2000s, like, rock. Yeah. Which I think you and I probably align a lot on.
Yeah.
Outside of that, we're, like, on different worlds, which, like, is great.
Heist by Macklemore was in there. But now I'm just looking at it. And again, I think that, you know, if you have to look for it, it's not. But like, if you see the album and you know every song and you know every song and you like it, I'm going to go with went through my first like real breakup when I was like 19. It's tough. You know, I had to did it myself. You know, I secluded myself from my friends, all that. And I would just go do cardio and I would go to the gym. I wasn't heavy into the gym, but I would just go alone. And then my wife ended up really liking them. I actually went and saw them in concerts. One of the only times we ever got a concert together. Masterpiece Theater by Mariana's Trench is my number five. I love every single song. And Masterpiece Theater Part 3, that song specifically, is like one of my favorite songs of all time. And it doesn't even really have a moment tied to it. It's just an absolute banger. But that is my number five. So we were all over the place there.
We were.
Dude, had System of a Down and Mariana's Trench.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. It's great to have that. Like, I love listening. So rap is probably my favorite genre, but it's also like the least I listen to, you know?
Bro, I was about to put, I went and looked, and it honestly could go in here, but it's called, hang on one second. This is like peak. You have a shitty car with a great sound system. All right, I lived with my friend who had that, and then I put a sound system in my 94 Plymouth Sundance. Bred to Die, Born to Live by Lil Scrappy. I listened to this album just so much. He has a song called Oh Yeah. It's number 20. There's a lot of skits on his album.
Yeah,
but like Gangster with Lil Jon. I know everyone knows that song. I'm trying to think of the other ones that were on there, but like the whole album, I loved. Loved. And I almost put it in there, but it's, if I listen to it now, I'd probably cringe a little bit.
Yeah, most likely. So he was signed to Little John?
I don't know. Like, the song Gangsta, which I think everyone would know, with Little John is actually a little scrappy. Like, that's his, like, he's the main, it's his song, which I don't think a lot of people know, but he has a song called Oh Yeah that I must have listened to. I broke my MP3 player listening to that one song.
It looks like his career kind of died down after rapping, but he has a reality career now. Oh, yeah. He's on Love and Hip Hop. He's big now.
It died after that album. Like, I think it was his first album, and it was amazing. And I'm pretty sure, like, he got into, like, one of, like, the bigger rap groups, but it legit after that did not hit after that. But,
yeah.
Yeah, man.
I mean, there's a lot that could have made the list. Like, are you a big Weezer fan at all?
Dude, I hate Weezer.
oh my God, like, oh, their first two albums are just great. I'm shocked. But we talked about it earlier. Limp Bizkit, what are your thoughts?
Limp Bizkit has some of the best bangers of my life. Like, I will never forget, I could not get my mom to let me buy Limp Bizkit. And I think it was, I'm just
Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water.
It's probably that, but I'll know the cover once I see it. It's Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water. So one of my buddies, who was kind of, from the wrong side of the tracks in grade six, he let me borrow that album, and I remember listening to it like on my way home from walking home from school in grade six. And like My Way was one of the most, it was destroyed by the radio, because My Way, yeah. I don't know, there was no way that you lived your life in the early 2000s and didn't hear My Way at least 500 times. Because that was,
they
like,
had some good songs. Like, yeah. So I've been torturing my wife recently because we have a Sirius XM radio, mm-hmm. in the car, and I live between like 10 stations. Like, and it's like they're in a row. So it goes like indie music, and then it goes like thrash metal, then it goes like late 90s, early 2000s rock, and then it goes like hip hop. So like I stay within that range of channels. But this one channel, it'll be like Korn, and then it'll be like Limp Bizkit and Disturbed and Slipknot. And like, I always find a station right there, like, or I always find a song on there. So My Way was on 2 days ago. And then yesterday, I think it was Take a Look Around from that album.
Oh, so good.
So they're a guilty pleasure, but they're actually like, they had some great songs.
Dude, Roland, like, I mean, The Undertaker kind of made that cringe. Yeah. But like, dude, Roland was there. Like I said, there was no way you were a kid, you heard that and you weren't fired up out of that. Another really good one. People are probably going to be like screaming because we're of our age, because we're 30, that I feel like needs to be mentioned, but I have like favorite songs from each. Meteora, I really remember Meteora, and it could make my top five, but I think that I like my top
what's
five.
That
Meteora by Linkin Park.
Okay, see, I never got into Linkin Park.
Wow.
I know it's surprising.
Okay, I was on the Weezer one, but dude, you didn't like, yes, Linkin Park, and you
I didn't
were
like
my
Linkin
age.
Park. And it was because there's this one kid I didn't like in like grade school that liked them, and I thought they were just like lame.
Oh, you missed
out.
So
I'm like, I've carried that.
Yep.
And like, I can't get into them as an adult.
Wow, dude, that's wild. Hybrid Theory and Meteora, man. Like, I feel like those are the famous CD era rock, like rock bands. Like, that's, wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, I know.
That is surprising. Obviously, the Eminem Show.
Yeah, so I remember getting that one, the edited version, for like Christmas one year, maybe. Dude, Eminem, like, so I didn't have an Eminem album on there, but to like any young white kid in, yep, like wherever, like Eminem was just the biggest thing could ever imagine. Like, yeah,
there was no bad song. Like, I legitimately, I can't think of a song that I hear from Eminem that I have, unless it's from Relapse, that I will turn off. And honestly, is it Recovery? Recovery might be one of my top like favorite albums of all time, but okay. Relapse was so bad.
See, I've gotten into Relapse more not recently.
It's
I guess
his like
the last
jokey tone of voice though, and it's
yeah,
like,
but his like rhyme schemes and stuff on the album were really good. But it's that accent that ruins it.
It's,
you know?
Because yeah, it was like him doing the Eminem Show, but he's like 35 or 40. And that made it like, dude.
Dude, it's like you can't listen to that in public because he's talking about like the like serial
awful
killer stuff,
yeah,
right?
It's
like,
bad news.
What are you going to like roll your windows down and listen to the, you know,
like
I can't even say the things he says on the album because like, you know, I'd be banned
Relapse
from GWC.
Relapse is really bad. I'd be banned from GWC.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope.
But yeah, Eminem from the Eminem Show. Marshall Mathers LP and Slim Shady LP. He had like back to back to back.
Encore
albums.
Is like, people have like thought like they have like where like or Encore wasn't good. Like there's people that think Encore wasn't good, and it was like the beginning of like his like not like downfall, but like where he like kind of went eh. But I don't really see it. Like I thought that
you don't see it.
I'm looking at the song list for the first time.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just thinking of like some of my favorites. Oh, maybe. Wait, I thought that.
If you go and listen to the Eminem Show and then go listen to like Encore.
Man,
like,
maybe all the songs I'm thinking of that were on Encore were just on the Eminem Show. Is white America? Oh my God, no. Now I see why people hated Encore. I don't recognize any of these.
It's not a good
album. Oh, like Toy Soldiers.
There's a couple good songs on there, but that's about it. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I can see that, dude.
Somebody's like, no, Jay-Z. I mean, like I said, any of these, there's like three or four Jay-Z albums that could probably.
Like, yeah, like for an album, you have to be start to finish. Like, how often do you?
Oh, no, he has them. He has sleeves. Yeah, he has like.
I wasn't a big Jay-Z guy.
See, like I said, I'm a big rap guy. He has Reasonable Doubt, The Blueprint. I'd even put like American Gangster up there for Jay-Z, but.
What is like, the most recent album that you love?
The most recent album that I love?
Yeah, like that. That could be that you think that maybe in 10 years, you're like, okay, this could be in, this could crack.
Yeah, I mean, we went to see this band a couple years ago, and they're like this Australian band, from Australia, obviously. Middle Kids is the band.
Okay.
And it was their first album. And we saw them a few years ago at like this small club that was like 100 people. And it was like so crazy because like my wife and I really love the band. Like we love the album from start to finish. It was their only album at the time. And we see like literally what is at the time our favorite band in the world. Like, and we're right in front of them. So that was pretty cool.
That'll probably
remain there. But I did have the Taylor Swift album there from 2 years ago.
Okay.
But dude, I'm big into music. So like all the time, like I find like a new album I really like.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
My mine would be.
Are you gonna say MGK?
I was about to say Tickets to My Downfall. Yeah.
I like the first song.
Not mainstream sellout that just came out, but Tickets to My Downfall is like he ditched rapping, and I love Halsey and like she's got one banger on there and like I love MGK. I think MGK is awesome.
But. See, I can't
not
tell.
For everybody. He's not for everybody.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
CJ just said Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran's. Oh my God, it's Blue. I can't remember the album name. Also, another band. I think Plus. For it to be like a favorite album, you have to be able to. Like, how often do you listen to an album full the way through now?
It depends on, like, so working from home, like, I'll do it quite a bit, you know?
Like, I just listen to a song and I click go to song radio.
Do you? I like the daily mixes on Spotify. Do you have those?
Kind of, but like again, I make my own. Like, so, like, a hack for anyone that's listening, if you on Spotify, if you right click on a song you really like, it will find you songs that people listen to in succession to that song that on Spotify that are around the same genre, the same sound, the same tone. And it's how I found like all of my favorite music, basically. Yeah. But it's a nice little hack that you can do. But yeah, the daily ones work too. Because it's essentially
that first like MGK album when he's doing like the pop punk stuff. The first song on that, I forget what it's called, but like it's I like that one a lot. Like the opening one, what's it called?
On like the one of his recent ones.
The album you love. Take Us to My Downfall. Yeah.
Well, the first one's title track, and then there's Drunk Phase, and then Forget Me Too. But the one
must be the title track.
It might like be the title track. Yeah.
Yeah, the aggressive one.
Yep.
Yeah, but . Yeah. All right, we talked about music, so next week we'll have to pick out a new topic.
TV shows or movies?
We've talked about, we did TV shows, we'll have to do movies.
Okay, we'll do movies. I want to see.
I think we did both, but we can figure out something.
Yeah, I would like, let's do our five not movies we think that are the best made, but our five favorites.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, not like this isn't going to win an Oscar, but all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, yeah, this is basically what it's going to be now. So, viewership drop off will probably be pretty imminent. But we did talk about Shell.
We did.
We did a little bit. Yeah, let's fix Hot Rush. Make Hot Rush great again. All right. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
See ya.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.